You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 8th of January 2020 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAlbion.com. Well, I've got another bit of a depressing news story to bring you today and some analysis of it. And I only have the news story to go on. I don't have any extra information on this from anybody that knew the person involved. It seems like another one of our young people has gone down the wrong path. Particularly disturbing is the age of this young lad who has now ruined his life and also given us a bad image. And I think we can learn quite a lot actually from what the article tells us about this and the areas for concern. A teenage neo-Nazi terrorist who identified possible targets in his home city has today been locked up for 6 years and 8 months. The 17-year-old boy drafted his own manifesto, which listed areas to attack in Durham, such as schools, pubs, and council buildings. And we don't actually have a copy of his manifesto to look at. He also wrote of planning to conduct an arson spree with Molotov cocktails on local synagogues. And what on earth was he hoping to achieve with this? Well, we know from some of the chatter that we see online that there is a minority among nationalism who think that if there is violent resistance, as if by magic, everybody else will rise up and support the resistance, and we will overthrow the government, and we'll be able to have our whitopia. Total fantasy. It's not going to happen. People see things like this, and they just think, what utter madness. Why carry out terrorism like this? Another side to it is that people say, well, this will draw attention to the level of anger that there is at people such as Jews. People will question, why is it that people are going after these synagogues? And then they'll look online and they'll discover all the things that the Jews have done and they'll have sympathy for the people that are against the Jews. Again, that is not going to happen. People hear about things like synagogue attacks and they're absolutely shocked at it and their sympathies go out to the Jews and they call for nationalist websites to be shut down and they call for nationalist organisations to be shut down. It doesn't do us any good whatsoever, things like this happening. And the more people that get caught planning things like this, the more likelihood there is of extra legislation making things harder for those of us who are trying to keep within the law. Now, where would he have gained this encouragement to be doing something like this? From idiots posting online, mostly in America, Fed posting. And cheering on people like Brenton Tarrant and others that have gone out and attacked ethnic minorities. I mean, to go out and physically attack our ideological opponents is attacking where we are at our absolute weakest. We are at our absolute weakest doing something like that. and our ideological opponents are at their absolute strongest. They have the force of the government behind them. They have the force of the army, the force of the police, the force of all the institutions behind them. And you have sort of one person going out, like take this lad, for instance, one person going out trying to set fire to things with Molotov cocktails. The damage he would have been likely to inflict is sort of like the damage that a flea might inflict upon an elephant. It doesn't serve any purpose whatsoever. It doesn't help us in any way. And it certainly hasn't helped this young lad here. Various handwritten documents were seized from his bedroom in March by police, who also found a collection of far-right literature, Manchester Crown Court heard. Analysis of his computer devices and mobile phone uncovered numerous internet searches on firearms, explosives, and knives. In November, jurors found him guilty of preparation of terrorist acts between October 2017 and March last year. So that's from the ages of 15 to 17. The youth was also unanimously found guilty of disseminating a terrorist publication, possessing an article for a purpose connected with terrorism, and three counts of possessing a document or record containing information likely to be useful to a terrorist. Now, this mention of a terrorist publication here, I've pointed out before that we don't appear to have a list of defined terrorist publications. Obviously, if there was a list of terrorist publications, people could avoid having them in their possession. People could avoid purchasing them. But what it actually means is that the same publication could be classed as a terrorist publication in one person's hands, and the exact same publication in somebody else's hands could just be classed as just a normal publication. The reason why it turns into a terrorist publication is what the Crown Prosecution Service determines was the purpose of the person having it. So, for instance, you could say the Anarchist's Cookbook, for instance, which is available on Amazon. It was a very popular publication in the 80s. Somebody that just had a collection of all different books, they could have that, and it wouldn't be classed as a terrorist publication. But somebody like this young lad here that had been searching for items that he could purchase from that book, or writing down targets like this young lad was, then that publication could be classed as a terrorist publication, because that's what they are implying he was intending to use it for, rather than just using it simply for information purposes. I mean, I do amateur journalism here, the sort of things that I read go right the way across the board, from Catholicism to left-wing stuff to right-wing stuff, extreme right-wing stuff. I mean, right the way across the board, so that I'm as well informed as I can be when I give analysis of things like this. You know, and that should be obvious to people if ever I was investigated for something like this. I mean, I read as much as I possibly can on all different subjects, because I wish to be as well informed as I can possibly be. Whereas this lad, because he had whatever these publications were alongside a list of places he was planning to attack, that makes these publications into terrorist publications. So people need to be aware of that if they are reading books like that. And it doesn't tell us exactly what the publications were. According to CPS guidelines, the boy faced life imprisonment for the preparation of terrorist acts. You think about that, 17 years old, he was facing life imprisonment for this. He faced a maximum sentence of 7 years for disseminating a terrorist publication, and a further 10 years for possessing information likely to be of use to terrorists. The defendant said he had no intention of carrying out any attacks and claimed he adopted a fake right-wing persona for shock value. And why did he have a list of places to attack then? In the month before his arrest in March, he repeatedly searched for and visited websites related to lone wolf attacks by the likes of Oklahoma bomber Timothy McVeigh, the Norwegian far-right terrorist Anders Breivik, and Columbine high school shooters Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold. He also purchased the manifestos of Breivik and another terrorist, Ted Kaczynski, known as the Unabomber. So that may have been what they were classing as terrorist publications. The Unabomber manifesto is easily available online, and so is Breivik's manifesto. And of course, you know, journalists read this stuff and comment on it. And it wouldn't be classed as being a terrorist publication in their hands. But when it's found next to a list of places to attack, then it becomes evidence that can be used against the person. In journal entries, the youth wrote of his admiration for Adolf Hitler, a brave man to say the least. Moore's murderer Ian Brady, how wonderful it is to be an amoral individual. And murderous cult leader Charles Manson. Now that's interesting there that he's mixed all these people up. Adolf Hitler, who led Germany, fought against communism, fought against decadence, fought against immorality, and tried to ensure that his army behaved within the law and made a big thing about honour. And in the same sentence, there's Moore's murderer Ian Brady, who abused and murdered children, and Charles Manson, again, who murdered loads of people. So what are these three doing here together? Well, Charles Manson does get lifted up, again, by this tiny minority that we have within nationalism that gravitates towards Satanism, gravitates towards using violence to achieve our means. And it goes totally against everything that Adolf Hitler ever wrote about, everything about National Socialism. I mean, how do people get from Adolf Hitler and his positive Christianity to supporting Satanism? They usually go to rejecting Christianity because they think that it's Jewish in some way, even though it's the only religion to actually speak out against the Jews, and the Jews killed Christ. They go from that to paganism, and from paganism to Satanism. They end up thinking that because Satan is the enemy in the Bible, Satan must be the person to follow. And people, and you end up with Satanists claiming to be nationalists. And this is a poison that affected Atomwaffen in America. It's a poison that affected the prescribed organization, National Action. And it's a poison that is still affecting nationalism now in the darker corners of the internet, in the hidden chat rooms. And we need to watch out for it. We need to kick it out. We can't have this, because this is what it leads to. It leads to young, impressionable nationalists taking it all in, believing it, going out and doing stupid things, or going out and making plans to do stupid things and ruining their lives and making all the rest of us look bad. You need to have a zero tolerance to Satanism. In August 2018, he wrote a things to do list, which included the instruction, shed empathy, and referenced a shooting at a video gaming tournament in Jacksonville, Florida, where two people were killed. See this, shed empathy there. Now, I did a podcast a while back with Florian, and it really wasn't that detailed, but what we were trying to do is critique something that I believe was being called universal morality back then. I may be wrong with that title for it. And it was an extension of the siege mentality. And it was all about how the end justifies the means, and we should be above morality, and we should be doing our best to so that we didn't feel moral at all, and we could do anything to achieve our goals. And that just means losing. And this is a spiritual battle, more so than a physical battle. And the spiritual is linked to the physical. If you end up being immoral in what you're doing, then you've lost. I mean, the enemy's won. The whole point of this is temptation, and temptation of us to degrade ourselves and to break the law, basically break the natural law, break the divine law, and break the national laws and become just like our enemies. What is the point in winning the battle if we become just like our enemies? What would have been the point in National Socialism winning the war if they had become just like the people they fought against? Everything would be exactly the same as it is now. We would still have all this degeneracy going on if they had done that. Instead, they didn't do that, and they became an inspiration for nationalists today. Imagine what it would be like if people who had shed all their empathy were in charge and running the government. I mean, they're bad now, but at least not all of them are working hard to shed their empathy. Again, this is a satanic thing. And again, it goes back to this Gnostic idea as well, that certain people who are more educated than others are above the law, and they don't need to obey the same laws as the rest of us. I mean, we need to obey the laws of the government. We have to stay within the laws of the government. The government were put in place by us. We may disagree with their speech laws, but essentially they are in place to guard society. I mean, as a Christian, we're taught that the governments were put in place by God. Okay, they may be in the hands of the devil now, but they are still there as the guardians of the peace. They're still there, ostensibly fighting against the robbers, the rapists, and the murderers. And we have to work within the law if we are going to achieve what we wish to achieve. Breaking those laws just makes you a lawbreaker and a criminal. And a cheat, basically. Cheating. And what does it mean? What is the point in winning if you have cheated? That is no victory. It's no victory if you end up turning into the very person that you are struggling against. If you end up becoming the enemy, then what was the point in winning the victory? I mean, it's the same as if you end up becoming miscegenated. What would be the point in a victory if everybody is miscegenated? What would be the point in a victory if everybody compromised their morals and became immoral and degenerate? This idea of shedding empathy goes back to this, as I say, this strand in nationalism, this extreme strand that comes from Satanism and this siege mentality, and it ended up with people dying in Attenwaffen. It ended up with people being jailed and National Action being prescribed as an organization. And it's still influencing impressionable young people now. The youth also wrote of his dislike of school. Well, that's pretty common, isn't it? I would have thought. Spoke disparagingly of Durham having a Jewish MP and described the Northeast as a shithole, stating the people are loathable, the sites forgettable, and the police laughable. Well, that's language that Donald Trump uses, calling places by that name. And does Durham have a Jewish MP? Is he not allowed to speak disparagingly of his MP just because the MP is Jewish? I'm not quite sure what this has to do with finding him guilty of terrorism. It is understood that the boy had initially been referred to Prevent, the government's anti-extremism mechanism, but failed to engage fully. And the problem with the government's Prevent mechanism is that they don't have any moderate nationalism. They don't have any moderate nationalists advising them. They have plenty of moderate Muslims advising them. They have plenty of imams to direct Muslims towards a moderate version of Islam. But they don't have any moderate nationalists. They don't direct these so-called far-right references to prevent. They don't have any nationalism that they can say to them, well, why don't you support this? Why don't you put your energies into this? Because instead of doing that, we allow groups like Hope Not Hate to try and shut down all nationalism and hound all nationalists. And when terrorism does occur, such as in the case of Brenton Tarrant, we see headlines, all white people are to blame. All white nationalists are to blame. White nationalist websites, we must take them all down. Silencing the moderate voices in nationalism is not going to prevent things like this happening. It's going to encourage things like this to happen. We need more moderate nationalist voices offering another way, offering a credible other way to prevent people from feeling that there is no other option left to them than to carry out violence. Jenny Hopkins, head of special crime and counter-terrorism at the CPS, said this teenager chose to engage in terrorist activity after reading neo-Nazi propaganda and has now been handed a prison sentence. And I would agree with that. He chose to do it. Nobody forced him to. Nobody forced him into making the actions that he did. And that's something that people need to remember. I mean, no matter what somebody else tells you, no matter what somebody else says, you do have autonomy over your own actions. And this is the thing. We are tested all the time. We are tested, we are tempted, and we need to make the right choices. We need to make virtuous choices. That's what this is all about. That's what life is all about. The struggle between good and evil. And we need to make the right choices. And at least they're admitting here that he chose to engage in this activity. They're not blaming other people's websites or blaming YouTube videos for it. He was mentally prepared and had researched different methods, including how to make ammonium nitrate and a Molotov cocktail. So for those who say, well, this could have just been looking up information, I think that's pretty damning that he was looking up how to make the weapons that he would be using in these arson attacks. She says, the threat from far-right terrorism is very real, and the CPS is working with the police to ensure the public is kept safe. And sadly, that is an accurate comment. There is a threat from far-right terrorism, unfortunately. But the way to deal with it isn't to silence nationalist websites, moderate nationalist websites. As I say, the encouragement for the terrorism is hidden away in the darker corners of the internet. It's not people such as myself or people like Mark Cullett or any of the hosts at Radio Albion who regularly speak out against this sort of thing and point people to a different path to achieve our solutions. Detective Chief Superintendent Martin Snowden is head of counter-terrorism policing Northeast. He said this has been a protracted and challenging investigation, not least due to the age of the subject. The decision to investigate, arrest and prosecute a young person is never an easy one. However, we will always take necessary and proportionate action to keep our communities safe. Cases such as this highlight the dangers our young people face today online. The negative influence and powerful manipulation that takes place by those who seek to radicalize them cannot be underestimated. And again, this comes from people in the comments. It doesn't come from analysts and commentators and people on the YouTube. It comes from idiots in the comment sections. Prevention is always better than cure. and we would always seek to reach out and engage with people before they are drawn down the path to criminal activity. And that's, you know, that's one of our main goals here at Radio Albion, is to engage with people and prevent them from going down the path of property damage or physical violence, trying to achieve our aims that way. That we are not going to achieve our aims that way. That way leads to more censorship. DCI Snowden said everyone in society has a role to play in preventing people from becoming radicalized. He said it had been a protracted and challenging investigation, not least due to the defendant's age. In the lead-up to the arrest, officers monitored the boy's online activity and identified an increase in concerning online activity that included neo-Nazi white supremacy ideology. And I'm glad they didn't put white nationalist ideology there. In the months before his arrest, he repeatedly searched for and visited websites related to lone wolf attacks by the likes of Oklahoma bomber Timothy McVeigh, the Norwegian far-right terrorist Anders Breivik, and Columbine High School shooters Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold. Detective Chief Superintendent Snowden said protecting young people is not something that can be done by the police alone. He added, "We all have a part to play in keeping vulnerable teenagers safe from a potentially dangerous path to radicalization. We want to empower all communities to speak out and counter poisonous, hateful narratives to help keep our children and those who are vulnerable safe." Well, how about empowering the nationalist community to do this? How about encouraging the moderate nationalists that we have to be doing this? I mean, this is what, as I say, what we are trying to do here at Radio Albion is prevent these sort of things from happening. I fear that the authorities would look and say, oh, well, ethno-nationalism itself is extremism. And I don't think ethno-nationalism is extremism. Ethno-nationalism is what it has always been up until about the last 50 years when the idea of civic nationalism came about. Ethno-nationalism is what Japan has, it's what China has, it's what India has. It's only in white countries that nationalism has—they've sought to change the meaning of the word, and we have groups like the Scottish Nationalist Party, which are basically international Marxists. We have a nationalist community, and we bear responsibility for when members of our community do stupid things like this. We have to prevent it from happening. The saddest thing is that this 17-year-old lad, he must have come across part of the nationalist community that was encouraging him to do things like this, instead of pointing out the harm that he would be causing to himself, instead of pointing out that, you know, we are supposed to be virtuous because we have the ability to be virtuous. The point of this isn't to become just like our enemies. The point of this is to overcome that temptation. And nobody told him this. The saddest thing is that he can't have been listening to Radio Albion. If he had been, maybe he wouldn't be there in the prison cell right now. DCI Snowden said society cannot escape the use of technology in modern times, but it must be aware of the dangers that can surround children and young people. He added, "Prevent is the most important strategy we have to safeguard young people from radicalization, and it is always better reaching people before they are drawn into criminal activity. Unfortunately, there are those who elect not to engage and refuse the support that is offered. In these cases, or where their behaviour has already gone too far, intervention may no longer be an option, and we will take robust action." Well, Prevent needs to be credible. This is the point here. Prevent needs to be credible. They can't be saying, well, ethno-nationalism is just all wrong, and that is just all extremism. Because ethno-nationalism is just about loving your own people. It's just about loving your neighbour. It's Christianity, basically. Love your neighbour as you love yourself. Put the interests of your people above the interests of the individual. And you don't do that by going out and carrying out arson attacks. You do that by supporting everything that you can within the law that is working towards looking out for white people's interests, whether that means voting for a populist politician or the closest politician there is to a populist politician, whether that means donating to organizations that advocate for us or helping to propagate nationalist propaganda, or coming to conferences, helping out with leafleting, just forming groups with other young nationalists, groups offline, all these things that can be done, move to an area that doesn't have non-whites in it. I mean, the most important thing that any nationalist can do is just don't start dating any non-whites. So long as you don't start dating any non-whites and you try to find yourself a white partner and produce white children, then you essentially you have prevented white genocide from happening within your own sphere. And beyond that, you need to resist the temptation to get loans, resist the temptation for pornography, for gambling, speak out against homosexuality, but not in a way that could be seen as inciting violence against homosexuals, but pointing out the facts and pointing out that, we don't hate these people. We feel that they have a psychological problem. And that is what the medical texts said about it up until about 10 years ago. It was a psychological problem. And of course, it is a psychological problem. It goes against nature. Nature is the male and the female fitting together. Somebody thinks that male and male should fit together. Then there's obviously some kind of an issue there that needs help with. It doesn't need encouraging. Now, I'm going a little bit off topic here, but there are plenty of ways that people can advance our cause, which are actually going to help us, rather than doing stupid things like this. Because this young lad has now ruined his life. We need to be on the lookout for people that show signs of this. People that are showing support for Charlie Manson, or who are talking about rising above morals and how whatever it takes, it's going to be whatever it takes in order to get the job done. No, that's not right. It's the journey to get there is more important than the destination. And it was Adolf Hitler that taught that. It's the communists that taught that the end justifies the means. The National Socialists said that the means are an end in themselves. So we need to look out for people like this and ensure that they don't go on the same path as this young lad and ruin their lives and cause us a lot of bad publicity as well. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion. Talk radio for the nationalist community.